think we can all agree that 2,000 years is a long time. Yes? 2,000 years is a long time. We've created for ourselves a vivid imagination about what things were like 2,000 years ago. But still, it is a long, long time. Many things have changed, obviously. They didn't have iPhones. Many things have changed. And along the way, certain messages have faded out of focus, while other messages seem to sharpen and come to the forefront. And in today's gospel, we have an example of a parable that was told for a very specific time and a very specific context. It was told for a people living through a time of struggle for whom the meaning of this parable would have been profoundly clear and profoundly challenging. For them, Jesus was not mincing words. There was nothing concealed about this parable. But for us, when we hear this today, we hear the story of these women who are cast out into the utter darkness because they just didn't have enough oil, and the door is shut, and there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Like, it just all seems a bit extreme. And so we can really only understand this parable when we understand the context that it was written for, the context that it was spoken for, the context that Jesus had in mind when he told this parable. That context was the first generation of Christians evangelized by Peter and the disciples and Paul. Following Jesus' resurrection, the disciples were, we know this, filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to preach that Jesus was the Messiah, who had been raised, in whom all people could find new life, and that he would come again to bring justice and peace to all the world. And the people came flocking to this message, seeking healing, seeking forgiveness, seeking a new life and a new way of living. And they came also seeking the coming of peace and justice on earth and the final overthrow of the Roman occupation. Right? The Romans were very, very cruel occupiers, especially to the Jews. And most of the original community of Christians, it started as a Jewish event. It started as a Jewish church. And people longed for the overthrow of the Romans. And that would happen when Jesus came again. And for those early Christians, for the disciples too, they were certain that it would not take very long for Jesus to return. Like, it was going to happen very, very soon. In fact, it was likely to be any day now, maybe even this week, like on Thursday. Jesus was coming again, like on Thursday. And they prayed together every day, and they held all things in common, and they didn't get married or have children, and they gave everything to the poor because Jesus was going to come any day now, like on Thursday. And then Thursday came and Thursday went. But they awoke the next day filled with hopeful confidence that they were one day closer to that day when they would see him again and that it would be next Thursday. But steadily the weeks passed, and the months, and the years. And in our reading from 1 Thessalonians today, we hear Paul speaking to a community who had been waiting for a long time. 1 Thessalonians is thought to be the earliest writing that we have of the early church. They had been writing, they had been waiting for a long time, like 20 years. That's a lot of Thursdays. And Jesus hadn't yet come. And now the elder members of the community were dying off, having waited faithfully for years. And the whole community was starting to wonder, will it ever happen? Are we waiting in vain? Should we still hope? Is there any point? It was for them that Jesus told this parable of the 10 bridesmaids. And to remind you, this is how that parable goes. A whole community is waiting for the bridegroom so that the wedding feast can begin. Of the 10 bridesmaids who are keeping a lookout for the bridegroom, 5 assume that he will come swiftly, so they prepare themselves only for a short wait. But the wait is long. But the other 5 had been wise enough not to assume how long the wait would be. So they prepared themselves to be patient, knowing that the bridegroom will certainly come in the end, whether swiftly or slowly. And finally, the bridegroom does come, as he was always going to come. And the ones who were prepared for a long wait are ready to greet him with joy and welcome him home, and their flames still burn brightly. It was a parable told for a community that would be tired out with waiting and that would be losing hope. Jesus told this parable knowing that the early fire of their faith would waver and grow dim as the excitement passed, and the long, hard struggle against Roman occupation continued, and the years came and went. And so he told them this parable to encourage them to be patient and to keep hope. But this was not the only parable that Jesus told knowing that his people would grow tired of waiting. He told 2 other parables found immediately after our parable today. The parable of the talents, which we'll read next Sunday, and the parable of the sheep and the goats, which we will read the Sunday following. Together, these 3 parables make up the entire 25th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and they add up to Jesus' message for those who will be waiting. The parable of the 10 bridesmaids says, "Do not lose hope, no matter how long the wait will be, for it will be long. Be ready, always." The parable of the talents, if you recall the parable of the talents, the master is going away. He gives money to the slaves. He gives 1 5 talents, 1 2 talents, and 1 talent. And then he goes away. And the slave with 5 talents invests it and makes a good return. And the slave with 2 talents lends it and gets it back equally. And the slave with 1 talent buries it in the ground and hides it. And the master comes back and calls them to account. And the one who had 5 talents, I think he ends up with 10 talents. And he shows the master, and the master says, "Well done. Well done." And then the guy with 2 talents says, "I took your 2 talents, now they're 4 talents." And the master says, "Excellent, good job." And the one with 1 talent who hid it in the ground, the master casts him out into outer darkness and takes everything from him. And we go, "What? What story is that?" Come back next Sunday to hear my sermon on that one. But the parable of the talents says this: when you are waiting for him to return, do not be idle while you are waiting. All right? So we've got the parable of the 10 bridesmaids: prepare for a long wait and do not lose hope. The parable of the talents says, and while you're waiting, don't be idle. And then we have the famous, the sheep and the goats. And the parable of the sheep and the goats is that in the end times, Jesus is going to separate the sheep from the goats. Presumably the sheep are good and the goats are bad. I don't know. We never know. But he's going to separate them. And to the one, he will say, "You served me while I was gone, and you came and visited me, and you gave me food, and you gave me water, and you gave me shelter, and you visited me when I was sick, and you visited me when I was in prison. Well done." And they will say to him, "Lord, we don't recall ever doing those things." And he says, "Whatever you do for the least of these, you do it for me." And the other ones haven't done that. So he says, "Whatever you didn't do, you didn't do for me." And he casts them into the outer darkness. So prepare yourselves for a long wait, but do not lose hope. Do not be idle, while you are waiting. And then, of course, they're going to say, and what should we be busy doing? Whatever you do for the least of these, you do it for me. Those three parables add up to Jesus' message for people who the circumstance had not yet come about, but he knew that it would, that they would grow tired of waiting, and they would start to lose hope, and they would start to lose focus. That was what these parables were written for. That is the message Jesus left to strengthen them in their waiting. Prepare for a long wait, and in the meantime, be active. Serve the poor and the outcast and the forgotten. And Jesus left them this message knowing how hard it is to wait and hope for a long time and not give up. Well, it's a lot of Thursdays since then. 2,000 years later, we are still waiting. And we are still hoping. We have not given up. And meanwhile, we have been active in service of this world that Jesus loved and died to save and for which he was resurrected. It matters what we do in the meantime. 2,000 years is a lot of years to waste waiting for something to happen. And in the meantime, we have done what Jesus has told us to do. We've also done a lot of terrible things as Christians. We got a lot of things wrong. But we got several things right. We have been active in faith. We have done our best to live our lives now to make a difference to this world that Jesus loved. It matters how we live this life now, even while we wait for the future of justice and peace to come. Here at St. George's, we are also waiting. We are waiting for our future home to be built. And just like those early Christians, the wait is longer than we expected. And just like those early Christians, we don't know when that day will come. But just like them, we are not called just to lie in wait, languishing, while we wait for that day when we will have our new home and then we can be a real church again. We are called to be active. We are called to live now as the people of God, as the parish of St. George's, while we're waiting. And I'm really proud of us that that is exactly what we are doing. Remember this time last year, we were struggling. We were struggling financially, and we were struggling to find a sense of vision and purpose and direction to bring us together. And now, when we look back just over the course of 2017, we only decided to have a revitalization at our annual meeting on January 22nd. So, like, you look back over the course of this year and remember all the things that we have done this year alone. God has helped us to find our way onto a good path, a path of healing, a path of reconciliation, a path of new outreach ministries that a year ago we didn't even know was going to happen, and a path of growth. So now that God has found us a path, well, so now we will walk this path. The wardens have signed a contract with Brian Way to continue our journey of healing from the abuse in our past. This coming Tuesday at Parish Council, we're hearing presentations from two of our leadership groups for with specific proposals for how to enhance our welcome for newcomers, taking into account the feedback that we got at the September 30th event. And we'll also hear from the group who has been looking at how to enhance our focus on discipleship. Just on Friday, you'll be pleased to know that our new website launched. Yay! It's finally launched. as part of our new focus on inviting newcomers to come and try us out. And there's still the caring group to hear from. About how we better support and accompany each other in the challenges that we face in life. And meanwhile, we continue to work with the refugees that God has introduced to us to help them find a new welcome and a new home here in Canada. All of that is new this year. We are not waiting idle. We are waiting, but we are not idle. God is giving us opportunities as a congregation, and God is giving each one of us opportunities in our own lives to live out the kingdom of God now, to live into the future that we hope for now. And so we wait. We wait for our coming home, and we wait for the coming of the Lord. We wait in hope, active in faith, and called to work now to make the world a better place, each one of us, one step at a time. May God bless us in our waiting and bless us on our journey. Amen.